Church, say amen. Amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. It's good to see everybody out this morning. You know, you could have chosen to be somewhere else, but you chose to be here, and this is the right place to be. This is the house of God. This morning, Brother Beck, thank you for the song service. Thank all of those of you who participated in the song service. It's good to sing praises and hymns unto the Lord. That's what we are supposed to do. So let us remember that. And you don't have to be in love with everybody that's standing around you. You're supposed to be that too, but you don't have to love them to sing as God has pronounced that we sing. In other words, let us open our mouths and sing our songs and praises and hymns unto the Lord. This morning we're going to speak from the third chapter of the book of Genesis, and beginning with the first, we're going to start with the first seven verses. We will expand into that chapter, but we want to start at the first seven verses. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat. Before we go any further, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O righteous Heavenly Father, we have been blessed once again, Father, for you pulled back the curtain and allowed us to see a new day in our lifetimes. Father, we started on this road this early morning, and we thank you for everything that you did for us this morning. We thank you for waking us up. We thank you for getting us up. We thank you for giving us food, shelter, and clothing that we may come out to your house, O Lord. Thank you this morning, Father, for each and every person in this audience. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for those who are not with us this morning, especially those who may be sick and shut in. As our sick list continues to grow, O Heavenly Father, we just pray that your will might be done, that they might be blessed and be able to come off the sick list and be with us once again. But if not, Father, we know that your will shall always be done. We pray for the leaders of this congregation and their families. We pray for the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. And we pray for those who shall come from this point on. We thank you for them and their families as well. Father, we pray for those who are in charge of our lives, politically speaking, O Heavenly Father. We pray that they may not make any kind of laws, rules, and regulations that prevent us from serving thee in spirit and in truth. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for the forefronts of war standing close at us once again. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that your will might be done in our lives with that as well. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all you do for us and all that you shall continue to do for us if we but live in your word, O Lord. Thank you for everything, Father, and it's in the name of your Son, Jesus. We continue to pray for the one who went to Calvary's cross. We thank you for everything, O Lord. Let us all say, Amen. Amen. This morning, from those verses that I read for your hearing and that Brother Bill read for your hearing as well, we want to talk about sin in the human race. Sin has not always been the lot of the human race. When God first made man, He made him in His own image. He even saw everything that He had made as very good. Somewhere down the way, sin entered into the picture and made its way into the human race that in which He had made. Just what brought sin into humans, the Bible has an answer to all of these questions, all of the questions that mankind needs to know. We know from the Word of God, the first time God used the term, the first time in God's Word that the term sin was used was in Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 7, where a conversation took place between the Lord and Cain, where He told Cain that sin would be at his doorstep. But sin had already begun with the disobedience of Adam and Eve. So let us look at the serpent, the serpent and between the serpent and Eve, I should say. And God caused Adam and Eve to break their bond with God. What caused them to break their bond with God? So first of all, we want to talk about the serpent. The Bible describes the serpent in verse number 1 of our text. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" We know that this was Satan in the form of a serpent. What kind of serpent, we are not told. We generally like to call him a snake, though. But that's not described in the Bible as that in Genesis 3 here. But we do know, according to the Bible in Revelation chapter 12 and the verses number 9, that the Bible calls him the old serpent called the devil. The text let us know that he is crafty. And it was he that deceived Eve. But I may as well tell you he did not approach Eve, nor does he approach us looking like the many images, drawings, and pictures we may have seen of him. We may have seen pictures of the devil or images of the devil carrying a pitchfork with a tail and a red suit on. But that's not how he looks to us. He looks just like you and I, or in other words, he may look like whatever he knows to entice us. He may look like a person dressed up in the finest of attires. He may look like a woman in a pretty red dress. Or he may look like a man in a blue pinstripe suit. But whatever he decides that is weakness to you, that's what he comes dressed as. Whatever he seems to be able to bring you down with, that's the form he'll take in our lives. Whatever our weaknesses are, whatever he can do to capture us, that's what he does. Whatever he needs to do, or whatever he needs to look like, that's what he'll look like. In the text of verse number 1, he begins his deception on Eve by posing a question to her. That question is, "Yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Well, think about that for a minute. All you have to do is go back to truth. And the truth, God did tell her what to do. And if God tells us what to do, we don't need to know what not to do. We already know what to do. When you consider the fact of the matter, God had already answered the question that the serpent had put on Eve. Did God tell you, "You shall not eat of the tree of every tree of the garden"? No, Satan. God told us what tree to eat of and what we should not eat of. So after posing that question to Eve in verse number 1, we drop down to verse number 4. "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." Ye shall not surely die. He continued to work on Eve by suggesting to her that God did not mean what he said. Isn't that how we get fooled today, by thinking that what's in God's Word is not really what God meant? How many times have you heard people say, "Well, I don't really think that that's what he meant when he wrote that"? Well, God doesn't need to explain Himself to you. He's already told us what to do. And when He tells us what to do in God's Word, we don't need to look for reasons why we shouldn't do that, but just do what the Bible tells us to do. God does not deal in untruths. He means what He says. What God meant back then, He still means it today. We do not need clarification of God's Word. We might need a little interpretation to help us to understand His Word, but we don't need clarifications to change His Word, because His Word does not need changing. And verse number 5, I want you to notice verse number 5, if you will, for a moment. For God knoweth that in the days ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. He appeals to Eve's vanity by the promise of enlightenment. Today He is still hard at work on us. If our weakness is profit, He tries to show us what we can have. But I read in Mark chapter 8 and verse number 36, the Bible has given us an answer to the downside of profit. For it says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and then lose his own soul? So if it's profit that you're after, the devil will show you great profit. But that won't mean that you won't lose your soul because you gain profit. If your weakness is the world, then Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2, be ye not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. We must not become so attached to the world that we can't see Christ. Everything new is going to one day pass away. We must not be allowed to walk according to the ways of the world. If sin is meeting you at the front door, you ought to turn around and go use the back door. The text speaks of good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. And we already know that God is good. Isn't that right, church? We are always looking for the newest and the best next thing. But if we just stand with God, we shall not go wrong. If we stick with God, we shall not go wrong. So Eve was about to make the biggest mistake of her life right now. And verse number 5, once again, he tried to entice her with these words. For God doth know that in the days you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. And you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. You know, can you imagine this world today without sin? Well, that's what Adam and Eve lived in. They lived in a world without sin until Eve came into sin, and then Adam came in behind her and did the same thing. So what was the sin? Well, Eve was without sin until she indulged in Satan's lie. It is easy for some of us, not all of us, but some of us, to be caught up in Satan's trap. He fools us with the old mind game of how that if something looks good, then it should be good for us, and just one little try won't hurt anything. In verse number 6, this verse shows us the end of her innocence. Here we have the first sin of the human race in the seduction of Eve, and soon Adam as well. Look at verse number 6 for a moment, if you will. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, I want you to notice something there. This verse, as it shows the end of this innocency of Eve, just as it does with men today. And how many men and women have fallen prey to the old thought that It shouldn't make any difference if I try just a little bit of this just one time. To us as Christians, our trust, our faith should only be toward our Savior. For it is in Him, according to Colossians 2 and 3, where we are hid the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Christ is all the treasures and all the knowledge we shall ever need. I tell you something, church. When you think about it for a few minutes, what Eve did has caused us many a heartache down the line today. It has caused us many broken hearts. It has caused us to live in a world filled with sin instead of a world filled with peace and joy and perfection. Why is Christ the only knowledge, is all the knowledge we shall ever need? Because we must have faith that He will get us through whatsoever comes our way. He can remove the temptation that caused us to become disobedient to the teachings of the Lord. Eve could have resisted Satan, but instead she gave in and did what God told her not to do. Sin starts with us. Sin starts with us just as it did with Eve. And look at verse number 6 once again. Notice the first thing, how it began. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food. First thing she did was she looked and she saw. And now it seems to me that the way she could have prevented that, she could have turned the other way. And she did not. Secondly, the Bible says, she took of the fruit thereof. She took of the fruit thereof. She saw it first, and then she took it. Now, no one forced her to take it, but she did this on her own because it was pleasant to the eye. This is how so many men get caught up in trouble today. In Matthew 5:28, where Jesus delivered His teachings on the mount, on the Sermon on the Mount, He says, "But I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, committed adultery in his heart, in her heart, in his heart, I should say." Eve looked at the fruit. And then she took the fruit thereof. No one forced her to take it. She did this on her own because it was pleasant to her sight. It was pleasant to her eyes. So Eve should have looked away, but she didn't. Thirdly, she did eat. Look at the text again. In verse number 6, it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took the fruit of the fruit thereof and did eat and also gave unto her husband, and he did eat also. The Bible says that her husband followed her into the sin that was come upon her. He did eat also. When I think about it, and I look at the matter a little closer, instead of stopping her like he should have done, Adam joined in with her. We must remember one thing. Those who are the farthest from God may try their best to draw us closer to them. Whenever we have trouble at hand, we go out and we look at the Word of God. And you know, the Word of God can become our ally, believe it or not. The Word of God can become good, is good for us, because God is good for us. When you think about the world at large, there are many evil people in the world today. There's much sin in the world today. Do you know what sin is? Sin, first of all, is a separation, puts a separation between man and God. And when you are sinning, you are far from God. You are separated from God. This is how sin entered the human race, and man is still living in it today. Some may ask the question this morning, what if only Eve had sinned and not Adam? What if Adam had not ate of the fruit? All I can tell you is this. The Bible doesn't explain this to me or to you, but all I can say is that God in His infinite wisdom would have handled it in His own way. Perhaps in ways we would not understand. And why, preacher, do you say maybe we wouldn't understand? Well, God has already told us in Isaiah chapter 55, around verse number 8 and 9, that our thoughts and our ways are not His thoughts and His ways. Because as high as the heavens are from the earth, so are His thoughts and His ways. So I tell you something. I'm glad that God didn't leave anything to chance here for us, so we can't mistake what if only Eve had sinned. We don't need to look at that, because that's not the way it went, and so we have to go by the Word of God as it is presented unto us. And the way it's presented unto us is that both of them sinned. Eve started it, but Adam didn't help her by stopping her. I guess it's possibly true about the old saying, forbidden fruit is always the sweetest. That's what some may say. But I say unto you that forbidden fruit is not the sweetest. It may look the sweetest. But you have to be careful in the ways you react to Satan when he comes up on you. Now let me explain one thing to you in the best that I can. Satan became a serpent, or he took the form of a serpent. Now, was it a real serpent, or was it just him in the form of a serpent? Well, the Bible tells us again in Revelation 12 and 9, it calls him a serpent, the devil, that old serpent, the devil. Now, when I think about it, how does Satan entice us today? Well, he looks for man's weakest point. If it's money that you like, he'll provide ways for you to see money in your future. If it's something else, if you like to go out drinking and dancing and partying, he'll present to you the best party you ever saw in your life. Or at least he'll make you think that. But I tell you something, church. God's Word is clear on one thing, that God is real, and sin is not right. God gave us the results. The Bible gives us the results of the sin. God has from the very beginning of time been in charge of the human race. When sin came to the human race, He knew what He needed to do. We find in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 through about verse number 19, just what sin caused. In verse 14, He sentenced the serpent. In verse 16, He sentenced the woman. In verse 17, He sentenced the man. In chapter 3 of verse, look at chapter 3, verse 14, where the Bible says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between you, thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." In verse number 16, it shows what happened to the woman, what the punishment for the woman was. "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." But notice verse number 17, if you will. "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. In verse 18, "Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field." In verse 19, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, and for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So each person who had a part in this beginning of sin in the human race got sentenced. And we're all living under that sentence today, if you will. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the verse number 21, since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. In verse number 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. In other words, because of Adam, the human race now must all face death. But because of Jesus Christ, we can die and live again, just like Christ died and was brought back from the dead. Now let me just make sure nobody makes a mistake. When you die, you're not coming back here to walk this earth anymore. So I'm not talking about a physical coming back to life. You'll come back in the judgment when you go to live with Christ if you have lived right. Christ died and was brought back from the dead, and so can we become brought back from the dead. He was nailed up on the cross, crucified, buried in a borrowed tomb, resurrected and walked out of the grave. He left us the only blood-bought institution purchased with the blood of Jesus. And that is the Church of Christ today, church. Any of us who choose to can become a member of this organization, the Church of Christ, where Christ declared himself to be the builder of the church in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. We may be part of the human race, but we do not have to be a part of sin. We may be part of the human race, but we don't have to live like we're wild and crazy and reckless. Meeting the blood of Christ in baptism can cause us to be washed of our sins. When we got up this morning, we should have known without a doubt that God woke us up and that we owed Him a debt of gratitude. You should have been able to say to, you should have said to the Lord, Lord, you didn't have to call me today to this day. You could have left me sleeping and eventually in my grave, but thank you, Lord, because you didn't. And remember, there is no substitute for the real God. God is not a generic God. There's no such thing as a generic God. God is the real thing. If you see God in the Bible and it's God with a capital G, that's the real God. If you see God with a small g, that's not the real God. Only God can take away the sins of this world and sins of mankind. Only you, Lord, can take us to a heavenly home. You've heard it said before, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. That means that those who have done their best in this life can get to heaven for a better life. When you think about it, if Eve had just done the right thing and had not followed Satan's example, we would have all been better off today. We would have all been better off because we wouldn't have known good and evil. Adam and Eve wouldn't have known the difference between good and evil. And look at verse number 7, I believe it's verse number 7. And the eyes of both of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And then when it came time, when God came looking for them in the garden, God asked the question. He said, Adam, where art thou? And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And I like this part. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Oh, I like how he shifted the blame. Don't you see what Adam was doing? He was shifting the blame to someone else. When you commit a sin, what do you say? Do you say someone else made me do it? Or do you take responsibility? See, you're going to have to take responsibility for your sin. There's no way of getting around it. Whatever you do in this life, you're going to stand before the judgment one day. And you're going to have to take responsibility. Because you know what? God already knows about it. So when you take responsibility for your sin, you've got to take responsibility for your sin. You may as well prepare yourself. So the best way to prepare yourself is to try not to do it. The best way to get yourself prepared is try to live a righteous and a decent life. A righteous life. Meaning that you go by the will of God. You allow His words to meditate in your heart. Both day and night. Now, does that mean you're never going to sin? No, it does not. Has the preacher ever sinned? Yes, he has. Will he continue to sin? He won't live in it, or he shouldn't live in it, but he may sin again because sin is all around and the devil is prevalent in our lives. Do you sin? Most likely you do. Are you a sinner? Not necessarily. But I say to you this morning, the one thing that Eve should have done. Eve should have remembered what she had been told. Just like we should remember what we read. And just like the Bible teaches us in God's Word, we talked about it in Bible class this morning. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for rebuke, for teaching, for righteousness, and teaching and all righteousness. I paraphrase that a little bit. But what I'm saying is the Word of God is right. I may not always be right. You may not always be right. But the Word of God is right. Now, I know my time is up, but let me just have a couple more seconds here, if you will. Bear with me for a little bit. Someone already told me the bears don't come on until later in the evening, so you ain't got to worry about getting home to see that. But what I want to say to you is this. If we let the Bible be our guide, we can live as close to perfect as we possibly can. We can live a righteous life if we let the words of the Bible guide us. When the Word of God is used in our lives, we can live the way God wants us to live. Now, I always like to tell you, a Bible does no good at home on the coffee table collecting dust. Because you got a Bible, when I walk in your house and see the Bible, doesn't necessarily make me think that you are a Christian person. It just means you've got a Bible there. If you're not using it, it simply means that it's taking up space in your house. But a lot of people like to display the Bible. They like to let you know, I think that God's Word might be right, but I don't necessarily follow it. But if I got the Bible laying out, then everybody will think that I follow the Word of God. But you're going to have to answer to that for that one day. For what all the things that you do, every evil deed will come up again. So just remember, it started with Adam and Eve, but it's still going on today. But we have an out. We have Jesus Christ as an ally. How can I make sure that I can be aligned with Jesus Christ? Well, you can become a member of His body. How do I become a member of His body? You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But what if I did that many years ago, preacher? But I've walked astray. Well, you go back to God, ask God to forgive you whatever you're short in, and then come forward, ask the church to pray with you and for you that you may grow strong. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.